Ben jij op zoek naar nog meer inspiratie voor jouw reis naar Afrika? En vind je het leuk om met Explore Africa Travel persoonlijk in gesprek hierover te gaan? Dat kan. In oktober staan wij op het Verre Reizen Event in Antwerpen en Den Haag. Ook organiseert Explore Africa Travel een informatiemiddag. Dit is op 16 november in Oosterwolde. Kijk voor alle evenementen en het aanmelden voor de informatiemiddag op explore-namibia.nl/evenementen.
Vandaag een hele bijzondere aflevering. Want we gaan in de aflevering live naar Swakopmund in Namibië. In gesprek met een Namibiër. Joachim von Wietersheim groeide op in het land dat wij zo'n warm hart toedragen. Van hem willen wij weten hoe het leven in Namibië is. En of je de schoonheid van een land ook blijft zien als je je hele leven er al woont. Daarom vandaag deze bijzondere Engelstalige 21ste aflevering van de reispodcast Explore. Yes, so now I'm switching to English. And Elise, I'm quite a bit nervous about it because making a podcast in English, that's something completely different. And of course, yes. I know I've got this typical Dutch accent, so I will make sentences that will sound like Dutch or something like that. So yeah, I will try. But it's for a good cause, because we have a special guest, a guest of honor today. And without further ado, I think it's time for you, Elise, to introduce him to our listeners.
Yeah, look, the Namibians are special. We love them. They're friendly, warm-hearted, a little shy. Earlier, we have had Sylvia as a guest. That was in Vochtelo at Peter's home. But we know Sylvia well. And this time we wanted to talk to a Namibian we don't know, just to hear what keeps this person busy, where the person grew up, whether he, yes, it's a man, also had to eat Brussels sprouts on Sunday when he was small, what can you do in Namibia once you get started after school, how is life in Namibia, and perhaps he can give us some inside info on his favorite locations to visit in Namibia. Before we give our mystery guest some time to introduce himself, we always start with our famous dilemmas. What we normally have is news items. We would leave them out, although I want to mention one thing that's very nice. We have a lovely lady working in the Explore Namibia team in Windhoek, Hilma. And she recently gave birth to her beautiful daughter.
Ah, wow.
Little baby. And she stopped working on a Friday, and on Saturday morning the baby was born. So that was a kind of...
Wow, so really close.
Close call.
But just that everybody who knows Hilma, she's happy, safe, and is now a real nice mommy. But let's start with the dilemmas. Okay, Joachim, we have three dilemmas. And when I get the dilemmas, I cannot answer with one word. We usually take half an hour, but please be strict on yourself. This first one is an agree or disagree. Namibia is also a country for vegetarians.
I will actually agree.
you can talk about it later. So yeah.
Oh, and now I have to be careful not to say anything. Okay. Number two, Swakopmund is considered to be an urban area and should be avoided by travelers from overseas.
With that one, I strongly disagree.
Very good. And your favorite river in Namibia, of course, is?
Well, it's probably not that well known, but it's actually the Fish River.
The Fish
River. Ah, wow.
That I think we later come back to that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I think, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get a bit to know a bit more from our guest. Introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm a born Namibian. My great-grandfather, he moved to Namibia during the colonial time. So my grandmother was born already here. Both my parents were born here, and I'm also born in Namibia. While my mother tongue is German, I feel as Namibian. This is my home. So after school, I went to Germany to study and work for about 10 years, but then it was time to go home. So together with my wife and our two kids, we returned to Namibia and settled in Swakopmund. That's why I strongly disagree that it can be skipped.
Otherwise, you have to talk to your wife.
It's a wonderful town to live in, and we enjoy it pretty much. At that time I took over a bookshop from my dad, Swakopmunder Buchhandlung, in business since 1900, one of the oldest still existing shops in Namibia. And we operated that for nearly 12 years. Then I sold the bookshop into different ventures. So I'm still doing school books, delivering books directly to schools, privately and state-owned. And I got a start in the tourism industry, guiding for Explore.
We know each other a little bit, but we never met. So that's...
I had some exposure to tourism, of course, in the shop. I did one or two tours as an assistant guide, or just helping out. Of course, touring the country with friends and family. So when I got the first opportunity to go on a tour with Explore, that was, of course, a wonderful opportunity, and it was a great experience, I must say. So since then, I've had a few tours through the country, and so now I'm part-time tour guide, part-time in the school book enterprise, and in Sokop doing some day tours on kayaks. So very, very different days every day. but it's great. It's nice, yeah.
That sounds good. But if you look, that is actually now more what you do now. Where were you born?
Yes, yeah, just that is a quite a part of my life, what I say, which probably influenced much how I feel about the country and nature itself. I was fortunate enough to grow up on a farm in the south near Kalkrand, along the banks of the Fish River, and that's maybe my...
That's where the love from the fish river
exactly,
is coming from.
Exactly, because the fish river is like most rivers in Namibia, only carrying water during rainy season. But the fish river is one of the fewer rivers that has water throughout the year in water spots along stony river banks or alongside rock cliffs.
Because people, if they think about Fish River, you say Fish River, they actually only think about the canyon.
Yes, yes.
Right? But where does the river start? Do you know?
It's actually somewhere in the area of Malta Höhe, so central southwest of Namibia, and then funnily enough, it makes a turn towards the north, and then switches down towards south past Kalkrand. And then moves all the way through the Fish River Canyon down to the Orania River. So it's a very long river, and picks up a lot of water from smaller rivers around it. And that's why it can flow quite strongly, and preserves water all through the year.
So it ends in the Orange River.
Yes, it ends in the Orange River. Yeah. Yeah, and I grew up on the farm, and it was a nice childhood. If I think about it nowadays, we didn't have a proper telephone even at that time. You had a shared line with various parties. Obviously, no internet, no TV. Electricity was generated.
Did you have this code? Did you have to wake like three times? What was your
code? Yeah, our code was three long rings.
Do you sometimes make a mistake that you do on your mobile three long rings?
No. I actually didn't check if I could do that. No, that was that was just the life at that time. So we were, of course, a lot outside. You know, we spent a lot of time outside, obviously along the river or just somewhere with the kids of the farm workers. We played outside and just spent a lot of time in nature. And that is something I realized, especially now during the touring with guests, how close I am to, or how I feel to nature, and how much I just enjoy being around in the country and discovering things while even being on a walk around the bushes and just look at the plants, at the trees, at tracks, whatever you can find. There's always so much to see and experience. Yeah.
The thing is that we have this, well, I have this really, I cannot get enough of dry riverbeds, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, and then also I saw limited times, for example, really riverbeds with a flowing river. That is like heaven.
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating experiences in my opinion. A dry river becoming in flood is just amazing. Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I've never seen it. In real life, but I always, especially in this time of the year when there's always on social media the first rain is coming, and then you suddenly see those movies that people are taking from it was dry and then all the water is coming. It's we can't even imagine. I mean, like here it's in the Netherlands right now, it's raining for I think almost 1.5 months or something like that. it's incredible.
Straight on.
Yeah. You know, it's really, it's even on the news, like there has never been this much water in such a short time, or in such a long time.
Yeah.
But it's incredible how much water is coming.
Yeah.
I mean, for you it's like
it's very
if
different.
The water is coming. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a manna from the sky. Joachim, but how, okay, of course you have the time that you're really young and you don't have any school or stuff like that. I can imagine you had already from quite young had to help a bit on the farm. But also, how did it work with schools?
Yes, yeah, we were fortunately enough that my...
You did not have school.
not that, but we had a school on the farm. So my mother started it off by founding a small school for the children of the farm workers, because under apartheid time, that was still pre-independence, the education of blacks, bluntly said, was not a very high priority of the South African government. So there were schools, yes, but they were not really, for the farm workers, often not. If they didn't make the effort themselves, the government didn't look after it. So my mother started teaching a few children in a small room, and the neighboring farmers heard of it, and they wanted to send their children, and eventually there was a school with about 80 children on the farm with a small hostel to accommodate the kids from neighboring farms. And so my brother and myself and my younger sister, we could all go, at least for the first 4 years, we could go to the school on the farm and didn't have to go to Windhoek to the hostel there. So we could spend more years on the farm, or at least more months the year than maybe some other farm children that had to go to hostels in schools. Huh?
Yeah, because that I think here, of course, if you look to the Netherlands, for example, that is really not existing. That you, at young age, actually, you're sent to the big city and you sleep there the whole week.
Yeah,
I don't know how.
No, that was quite normal.
It was a nice freedom, but it's also when you're really small, you know, I can imagine it's nice to stay a bit longer. And of course, you had nature around.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Must have been very nice.
Definitely. And especially that at a later stage, maybe it's you appreciate more having friends around. But for the first years, it's very nice to be on the farm or could have the opportunity to stay at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it still like that? Has everybody... Has everybody go to Windhoek for school, or is it also like
It can also be Ucho, or
it changed a bit. At that time it was mainly the big cities, sort of Otjiwarongo, Windhoek, Swakopmund and Keetmanshoop in the south, and maybe up north Tulip. Nowadays, many smaller towns like Oamaruru or Otavi or so have small private schools, so that the farmers in the area, they at least every weekend the kids come home. Because before, if they sent them to Windhoek, it was maybe once a month that they came home because it was so far to drive. So it changed a bit. Or sometimes even then one parent stays in town. The hostels are very, not uncommon, but it's much less participants. Parents actually try not to send their kids to the hostels in the early age.
Yeah, but that's something we can't imagine. I mean, if you live here, like in the Netherlands, there's a school like I won't say on every street corner, but it is in every village, in every city. At least the primary school is everywhere. If you go to
maybe a bit like in Germany.
Exactly.
There, right?
Yeah.
The other thing, of course, we have a special situation in that regards. It's mostly the farmers that have that face that challenge. So my brother, for example, he's having a farm near Malterhöhe. He's now doing homeschooling, the next school would be Marienthal, about 120 kilometers, or then maybe Rehoboth. But then the other thing is, of course, we have German mother tongue, so we would like our children to have also schooling in German, at least for a few years, to learn the language even better. So, and of course, you have government schools in nearly every village, yes, but obviously not in German.
Not in German.
So that makes it a bit more difficult for German-speaking farmers to find a school nearby. That makes it a bit more challenging,
And then at what age did you went to Germany?
Yeah, then I finished school with 19, so we still had 13 school years, and then I went to Germany. First I did an apprenticeship program, 2.5 years, and then I studied for another 4 years, and worked for a few years before.
What did you study?
Business management. Business management, yeah. Okay. And I didn't study specifically book trade.
You can say, okay, my father had a bookshop, but you must also, of course, like the trade.
Yeah, it actually came about, I mean, obviously, we first had the farm, so we also helped on the farm, especially when we were a bit older, at least. Eventually, my father decided to sell it. It was drought-stricken, years of drought, and my father was active in politics as well, so we actually moved to Windhoek, but that's a whole nother podcast.
I want to quickly to touch upon it, because your father, if I'm correct, was in the first government
of Namibia,
the first government of Namibia, was a minister, right?
Yes, that's correct, yeah. He was part of the founding National Assembly, and they then gave birth to Namibia as a country and the constitution and everything.
Yeah.
And then he was part of the government, the executive, vice minister, and then as minister for agriculture, which was his background. And after that ended and the farm was a bit under drought, he decided to sell it and then moved to Swakop to buy the bookshop.
Yeah.
So the book business was not in our family sort of for generations. Yeah.
Okay.
And then in between, between sort of my apprenticeship and my studies, I came to Namibia for half a year, sort of a gap time. And
then you missed it. And then you realized, like, what am I doing?
Sort. At that time, I realized I still want to educate myself a bit more, and experience more of Germany and Europe. But at that time, I worked in the bookshop, sort of to get to bridge that gap for half a year, where I actually got to know it a bit and understand that I have quite a passion for the product and for the business idea of itself. So when I started studying, and or at some stage my dad said, "What is if I want to retire?" And then I said, "No, definitely let me know. It might be interesting for me to come back and take it over." And that's what happened then. Yeah.
But you, that was quite young, eh? To talk about retirement already.
Yeah, he retired 2010. Yeah, he took a second stint.
Oh, sorry, I thought about your retirement.
Yeah, no. When he said he was wondering what would happen to the shop if someday he might. And I said, no, I will definitely would like to take over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Sorry. And your wife is she coming from Germany, or is she where did you meet her, or is she from Namibia?
So she is from Swakopmund. She's a Namibian.
No? Okay.
But we met in Germany. we didn't know each other.
You met at a Lidl when you were looking for whatever.
No. We had a birthday party of a friend of ours, both we knew. Yeah. I knew him from Windhoek, and she knew him through some other people, and that's where we met. So we didn't know each other before, but that's where we met, and eventually.
So you didn't have to convince her to go back to.
Fortunately,
Namibia.
Not. I think it's easy. It's easy to convince people to come to Namibia. But
that is true.
The same we feel about this is our home and we want to come home at some stage. Of course, German partners might feel the same, no? that they feel displaced, even if it's a beautiful country. We have that, unfortunately, that some people get married in Germany or wherever in the world and they move here, and then one partner is not happy then, maybe. No?
Yeah.
The thing is also because you were both born and you grew up also in Namibia.
Yeah.
I mean, there is also some, sometimes even little things that, or struggles or whatever, that you don't have to explain to each other because you know, you both know, you only have to look at each other like,
that's it.
That is very nice. But it is funny that although Namibia has such small population and we think that like everybody knows each other, that you never met before.
Yeah.
That for me is very, very
it is,
nice to hear.
Yeah, you of course you know a lot of people, but on the other hand, she was now in born and grew up in Swakop, and I myself in Windhoek. I went to school in Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is obviously a bit of a distance then, but you know a lot of people, but always you find somebody you still don't know. We are a small community, but widespread over the country. Eh?
Yeah.
So it happens. Yeah.
if you now, for example, think about that love you when you talk about like growing up at a farm close to the Fish River. And of course, you also love Swakop. Don't you ever have this itching feeling now that you also do a bit more guiding, or did you find the perfect mix?
Okay, I have to let's say like this.
I don't want to cause problems in the marriage.
No. But it is. You actually pointed it out very nicely. It is really like that. If I'm in the inland, I feel it. I really enjoy it. I the morning air especially. The sounds and so it is something I miss a bit in Swakopmund. But that's why I say answered that question regarding Swakop with disagree, because Swakopmund obviously is a town. Urban area, yes, but it's only a few hundred meters and you are in the middle of nature. The dunes are just next door. The ocean is just in front of the door, and if you get tired of the misty cold weather, you can hop in your car and drive 10-15 kilometers towards the desert, and you have 25 to 30 degrees and sunshine, and it.
So,
it obviously it's a town, but it's very close to nature, much closer than Windhoek or probably many other towns. Accessible nature, because around it, it's not private property. It's not farms around it, but it's nature park. So we can go into it. We can enter it and enjoy it.
Yeah. I still remember that first time that we went to Swakopmund, that we drove. We came from the south, and then we came through the desert, and then suddenly you see this, because we were there in June, something like mm-hmm. that. So it was all misty and cloudy, and so we were driving there, and then we saw all those clouds, and then we were there for I think 2 or 3 days. But in the end, when we drove away, it was also in the early morning, so it was all cloudy. Yeah. And then suddenly you drive through the right and you go to the north, and there's the sun, yeah. and blue sky, and you're completely back in the nature. It is exactly like you say. It's so close to everything.
Yeah. So that makes it for me a very nice destination to stay.
Yeah.
I think especially if you have family already and sort of maybe for young people Swakopmund is a bit small. Né? In Windhoek is much more action for né, in regards to cultural events or going out opportunities or stuff like that. But from the quality of life, I think Swakop is much better.
Okay, but and listen, my favorite activity, I hear that you also do kayaking, because that's...
Yes, I do kayaking as a guide, and that is also another thing. While it's very different to being outside in the area of Karlkrant, which is more semi-desert already. It's being outside and having this endless horizons around you, being in the middle of the water, having birds around you, maybe seals or dolphins, and you have this. What I love about Namibia is you can see so far, you can look so far. There are so few obstructions, and that is also a bit on the kayaking, because you're on the open water, and it's just nice.
For which operator do you do the kayak?
It's the company is called Charlie's Desert Tours, ironically.
He's doing the kayak a bit before conflict, right? At that platform.
Yeah, at the Bird Rock, what we call it, or the Guano platform, we go there. Yeah.
And is that as easy as the one at Pelican Point?
Yeah.
Or is it a bit more rough?
No, it's actually that the same level of difficulty, because it's all in the Wavish Bay, so no big waves. I think our tour goes a bit of a longer distance, so it's a bit more sporty. So it's not like we just move around at Pelican Point. You can, of course, kayak, but you mostly in that area where you launch, while we do about 2.5 to 3 kilometers around the platform.
For the tough guys. You're for the
top
guys.
Let's say for the ones that want some activity. It's not too tough. But even as a beginner, it's doable, but it's a bit more sporty. Many feel it the next day.
But then you also, you encounter, as if we are lions, you encounter also tourists. Now, you as Namibian, what do you think of the tourists? Is it, for example, it's the same like we see Amsterdam, and it's like packed and people with trolleys walking. And sometimes you think a bit like, go away, like leave us alone. Yeah. How is your sentiment towards us?
I think because we also had a guest farm, right? The farm we said was also a guest farm. So I grew up with tourists. Grew up having tourists around all the time. And of course, you have sometimes, as with everybody, every person, there are people that you don't get along so well with. But mostly, I must say, it was always good experiences. And also on my guiding now, it was very nice tourists and nice people. And so overall, I see it as a very positive thing, and I love to show my country. It's just fun, and for that we need tourists, and of course economically it's valuable, but No, it's not that packed here. That is a good thing. I visited Amsterdam once, and it was just
it's not too like much. That. No,
and that makes it but that's very nice.
I think that's a big difference because if tourists come to the Netherlands, it's like people go to Amsterdam. They go to the windmills close to Amsterdam. Maybe they buy some wooden shoes or some tulips or something like that. With the Chinese people, they go to sometimes to the north of the Netherlands. We have Giethoorn. It's with some boats, and they go there. But you know, that's the three things, or maybe there's one or two more that I even don't think about. But it's like they always go to the same three or four things, and then they leave and they go in their cruise ships, or they go with a plane and go to the next country in Europe. I think that's a big difference if you go to Namibia, because you always go for a tour, or you want to see more about the country.
Yeah.
But what I'm curious about is there anything that you say, oh, this is like a place not a lot of tourists come, but I don't know, maybe a secret doesn't even have to be a secret, but like those places that we always drive by, or that we cross and we don't even think about visiting, because we always think about Etosha and Sossusvlei and that's that part.
Well, there are probably many spots. I think the main tourist attractions are well chosen. It's not because they're on a practical route. They are very good attractions, né? From Sossusvlei to Etosha. If I would name, I mean, Spitzkoppe is a very, very beautiful destination, and many people skip it for some reason.
Not anymore.
Yeah. And which, of course, is a bit off the beaten tracks, is the Fish River Canyon and that southern area. It is dry and it's semi-desert, but it's just a beautiful landscape. You don't see many animals, but it's landscape-wise, it's lovely. And then also on the northwest, what we call Himbaland, or up to Pupa.
Kaukoland.
Kaukoland and Pupa. It's far drives, no? But it's not that touristy yet, and it's a very lovely area. Again, rugged, semi-arid, and but there you can find wildlife. I mean, it's a great experience to say, for example, in the Huap River, to find the elephants in that sort of vastness, actually dry area. In the riverbed, you have these huge camel thorn trees and ana trees, and then you find elephants. It's like, wow.
we visited it last year. It was incredible. That part.
So those are areas which are good to visit. Yeah, they have the necessary infrastructure around, but it's a bit off the main route, and you need to take a few extra days if you want to do the whole Namibia. It's the whole Namibia in 2 weeks. Yeah. You cannot do. Then you can just do the sort of way to Etosha with some in between. If you'd have two or three or more extra days, you can do a bit more, yeah.
And have you got any personal memories still about the first time that you visit like a big national park, or when you first see the first time that you see elephants or other wildlife? Is there a special memory about that, or is it just because you've always been there, it was always like that?
Yeah, I unfortunately, I must say, probably the later. We are a bit used to it. Although I again and again find it fascinating. So it's not like you get bored by it. But when I had now a tour with Explore, we went up through the Caprivi Strip and even through Botswana. So that was a first for me after many years. We were there. I was there. As a student, or as a school child, and so that had a very new fascination then to it, because I haven't seen it for so long. So it is a bit of a different experience than going to Etosha, where I've been now multiple times. Although I must say, every time you are there, it's different. It's different because the weather is different, because the landscape is different. It's a different, say it was a good year of rain or not a good year of rain, and the sightings. So every time it's still a bit new, but there's not this one particular event. Every place has its charm, and I nearly couldn't be able to pick a favorite, I must say.
What I find very nice in Etosha, that even if, for example, you have, it's rainy season and you're there, and you actually hardly see animals, but then, for example, you have this thunderstorm coming, and then you have the white salt pen, Etosha pen, and then it's just the sky that you see, you know? So that is also, it's sometimes, it's the landscapes, it's the animals.
There's one spot in Etosha where you can actually go onto the pan. I think a lot of people skip it because I don't know why. I've been there a few times now and didn't ever see many cars. But that's, for example, you don't see actually any wildlife, but it's a very fascinating spot because you're basically not in the middle of the pan, but you can go actually onto the pan and get out of the car there and stand.
I think it's the European rush.
It's a rush.
It's like Siamese elephant or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Those people are on a schedule and they have to get somewhere. And and that is something I try to tell the guests. It's not always possible, of course. It's already the route is part of the journey. It's not only the destination. And that's why you say when I'm with guests, I have certain points I want to stop because it's something special. But often along the way, while you drive, you say, let's stop here. See, this is, you find a fruit or you find a tree or something that you see and you think, okay, let's have a look at this. And which makes your traveling time sometimes a bit longer, but the people experience much more than just driving from A to B and spending time at the lodge. You know?
I do have a question, and I'm really curious about because we as Dutch people, but I think there are some more countries we love to drive in our 4x4s through your country and see make all the adventure and but do it all ourselves and make a trip like that. If I look to myself, we are always searching for the most adventurous roads because we like that.
Yeah.
Is that for you growing up with those roads? Is that the same? Can you still enjoy them? For example, should you ever drive, or maybe you already did, something like the Van Zyls Pass? Or do you say it's just those stupid European people who like to drive that, and
we pretty much enjoy ourselves as well. So we, with the family, we did quite some tours through the country. Basically, after when we came back from Germany, we said, okay, we are from here, but there are so many spots we didn't see yet. So we are not doing holidays in other countries. We are doing holidays locally to experience all the different places. And also there with friends from the sports club or whatever, once a year, basically, we try to do a trip somewhere in the country off the beaten tracks, do something new, like you just said, find an adventurous route, do some off-road driving. It's just fun. We enjoy it pretty much. And yes, it's possible here. So,
it is. Yeah, it's really cool. Definitely. Yeah.
It's really fun.
I just want to come back to one thing the first dilemma. Are you a vegetarian?
No.
but why were you so clear about it?
Well, actually, a few years ago, I would have probably answered with no. But through now being around with the tourists, but mainly on lodges, of course, where we had vegetarians along, the lodges are really geared up to it nowadays. So I had vegetarians on nearly every group, and there was actually no place they were not feeling attended to and accommodated. Because it's not just that. I mean, 15, 20 years ago, the lodge owner would have said, okay, then don't eat the meat. There's something else. Nowadays, they really cater for it. They make a plan and make a special meal. So Namibia is a meat country. Yeah? I mean, if you look at the buffet, so any dinner is always meat. A lot of it. But why I said yes, it is the lodges or guest farms. So they, in my experience now, in the past 2 years where I was touring around, are really catering for it and considering vegetarians.
But it's also good. I find that very positive. Sometimes first it's maybe received with a bit of sarcasm, like you don't eat meat, but then you die, or something like that, right? But that is what I like also in Namibia, that it's quickly adjusted.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's a bit of a challenge because lots of stuff is, of course, imported.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. No, it's really, as I said, from the past years when I was touring now, say 2 years now, it was really well managed.
Did you ever try a vegetarian meal?
Yes. We also don't eat meat every day. So we don't eat meat every day at home. I wouldn't say there are probably many vegetarian dishes that you can cook that we didn't try. No, mix it a bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah. Maybe to wrap up a bit. Why should people come to Namibia? Maybe you're the best one to tell us.
Well, the big things are, of course, the animals. A lot of people come for the animals. I always ask the guests, what are your expectations? Animals is always mainly named. And then, of course, the landscapes, and the variety of landscapes. You go from the south with very desert, or even say sort of say it's just 100% desert, then you have these semi-arid areas up to Etosha, where it's now, okay, some people would still call it a desert, but of course it's very different vegetation and a lot of animals, and so you have a big variety. And some trips are not planned like it, but what I would really say to people, if you come to Namibia, it's time to wind down and connect with nature again and sort of just find to yourself again a bit. Use the journey as the route as the journey already, and not only the destination, and enjoy that vastness and actually get down to earth a bit, because we are so insignificant in this whole context of this big country as a small human being. You will have places where you don't have any mobile phone reception. I mean, for many people, that's probably causing high blood pressure and stress.
But it's a lot of European people.
It's actually something very nice just to say, okay, you have to also a bit rely on yourself and maybe trust in the car and just be a bit, we will get there. Just sort of slow down a bit and enjoy the trip.
Perfect.
So I think that would be something that people can really take from Namibia, to just take some time to wind down and just enjoy the day, while you travel, while you drive, while you're on the road. And then, of course, the destinations are so lovely, where you have a sundowner, obviously, and enjoy the view and the good air. Namibia is definitely a nice, beautiful country to travel. It's just good to have some time at hand, just to enjoy it, really.
Well, I have nothing to add. Peter, you have something to add?
I have to say the same thing as I do every time. I want to go back.
Joachim, we really, really, really thank you. It was lovely meeting you. We will meet soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. And if you are in Windhoek, I would love to meet you in person. You can let me know, or let Julia know, and then we can make a plan.
Yeah,
Great.
Yes, for sure. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank Have you. A great day.
Yes, you Thank too. You. Bye-bye. Zo. En Joachim is nu weg.
Vertrokken. Ja, ik ben verliefd hoor.
Ja, ik
leuk
ook.
Event,
wat echt. Leuk.
En ook, weet je, dat is wel grappig. Want dat is natuurlijk van heel veel mensen in Europa ook een droom om te leven in de natuur of een gids te zijn. Hè? Alleen al het zijn van een gids in Namibië en rond te reizen en in de natuur te zijn. En het grappige is dat hij dus dat nu ook doet, maar dat het ook niet vanzelfsprekend is. Ik bedoel, hij had ook tot aan zijn pensioen een boekenzaak kunnen runnen.
Ja.
En ja, dat is toch wel, ik vind het...
Aan de andere kant doet hij nu van beide een beetje. En dat is denk ik ook wel...
Niet verkeerd. Nou, ik ben helemaal klaar om op de reis te gaan.
Ja, ik ook. En ondertussen, want we hadden het daar vorige maand natuurlijk over, maar heeft mijn reisagent ook wat van zich laten horen. Dus de reis is onderweg. Maar,
jouw reis ligt bijna helemaal vast.
Het is nog, we hadden vorige week of zo, zeiden we nog 6 maanden. Dus ik denk dat ik dit gewoon 6 maanden lang, 6 afleveringen lang nog ga zeggen.
Ja.
Oh, nog zo lang.
Maar, en ik weet dan ook wel dat je gewoon bedoelt, Elise, kan je nog eens even een updateje sturen. dan kan ik je alvast zeggen, het is heel lastig om Savuti te krijgen.
Ja.
Dus, maar dan, ik stuur je straks wel even een mailtje.
Ook. Maar het is zo dat ik, want ik hou ook nog een beetje, weet je, van die forums en de gaten of op Facebook en zo. En dan, je ziet dat in Botswana heel erg, dat die kant met rondom Savuti en zo, dat allemaal heel vol zit. Ook al.
Wij weten die geheime alternatieven, hè?
Uiteraard.
Uiteraard.
Hey, ik denk dat ik hem gewoon ga afsluiten.
Ja. Bedankt voor het luisteren.
Jij hebt het draaiboek gemaakt. Dus ik ga eens even kijken of jij... je hebt de afsluiting heb jij niet aangepast. Zie je?
Nee, die heb ik niet aangepast.
Dus die moet ik dan maar eventjes gaan freewheelen. dat gaat wel spannend worden. Hey, dank jullie wel voor het luisteren naar onze 21ste aflevering van de Reispodcast Explore. Met Joachim von Wietersheim als onze speciale gast. Wat ik heel erg leuk vond. Zelfs in het Engels. Vond je dit nou een leuke podcast? Stuur hem dan ook eens door naar je vrienden, familie of collega's. En abonneren kan natuurlijk ook. En dat doe je via Spotify, Google of Apple Podcast. Zodat je een berichtje krijgt bij een nieuwe aflevering. Je kunt de podcast ook beoordelen met sterren. En dat doe je bij Apple Podcast en Spotify. Hebben wij nou iets cruciaals vergeten? Of wil je gewoon met ons meepraten? Dan doe je dit via Instagram en Facebook via explorepodcast.nl. We hebben ook wat berichtjes gekregen. Daar gaan we volgende aflevering eventjes op terugkomen. Wil je nou zelf op reis naar Namibië en Botswana? Neem dan een kijkje op de website van explorenamibië.nl. Volg ze op Instagram en Facebook. En dat doe je tegenwoordig via Elise.
Zeg het.
Ja, jullie hebben een nieuwe naam bedacht.
Ja, de Explore Afrika Travel.
Dankjewel. Via Explore Afrika Travel.
Zit er nu niet helemaal in, sorry.
Ik heb het door. Deze podcast die verschijnt in ieder geval maandelijks. En volgende maand, dan is het december. En dan gaan wij, hoe zei ik het gisteren tegen jou, keuvelen over het jaar 2023.
Ja, we hebben een keuvel af. Met interessante... informatie, dus niet dat...
Nee, zeker. Normaal. En een beetje vooruitkijken richting 2024. Ja. Dus dat lijkt mij een heel goed idee. Nogmaals bedankt voor het luisteren en tot de volgende keer.
Bedankt.